Good morning. Last week we began the sugya of Kinyan Kesef, as we explained that if a person pays even a pruta towards the purchase price of an item, that itself can be a Kinyan Kesef. Now, we went through Barichos, that if a person owes the seller money and wants to say, I'm going to pay for the item with the choiv, with the debt that I have, Mekadesh Memilva does not work. And according to virtually all Rishonim, it does not work for a Kinyan as well. You have to actually be giving new money, and just paying with an old debt will not work. Now that is a case where there already is an existing debt. On the other hand, if you create a new choiv now, in other words, if the buyer tells the seller that, okay, I'm going to buy the item, he writes a shtar choiv, he creates a new debt on him, that array is machlokes. Machan Ephraim brings down rayas lekan ulekan, whether that will work for a Kenyan. In fact, Machan Ephraim has a chiddush that in some ways, paying by giving a shtar choiv, by creating a debt on yourself, might be better than actually giving cash. How? The halacha is when you Kenyan kesef works for karka. When you're paying for metaltalin, if you buy a camera and you give money for it. Although midoraiso, the kesef is a Kenyan, nevertheless, Chazal took off the Kenyan. They were afraid nisafru chitecha ba'aliyah, or nisafru camera warehouse, and therefore, until you take physical possession, you're not zoich in it, because otherwise the seller has your money. He has no incentive to take care of the items that you purchased, and therefore Chazal took off the Kenyan. They said there's a mishnah, if anyone who backs that as a mishapara, but a Kenyan, the Kenyan itself did not take place. Zokem Machan Ephraim. That problem is only when the buyer pays cash for the item, the seller already has the money in his pocket. So if he sees there's a fire in his warehouse, he says, okay, let it burn. It's not my problem. It's the buyer's problem. He'll let it burn. Zok the Machan Ephraim. On the other hand, what happens if the buyer did not pay cash? The buyer gave the seller an IOU note. So if fire breaks out in the warehouse, is the seller going to say, okay, it's not my problem, it's the buyer's problem? Absolutely not. In theory, you know, it's the buyer's problem because the Kenyan already was chal. But the bottom line is the seller knows he still has to collect the money. And to collect the money when the camera is already burnt is not going to be such an easy proposition. And therefore, the Machan Ephraim says, in this case, when you pay for it, not with cash, but with an IOU note, that's better. You do not have the problem of Nisru Chitech Ba'aliyah, and therefore the Kenyan will be chal. Now, Rebelli is making faces. Oh, very good, very good. So the Nesiva says, what are you talking about? We don't have a concept of loy plug. He goes through all sorts of examples where what happens if you pay with only a prutza? You pay 1.25 cents to this shipment of $10,000 worth of goods. It's a Kenyan kesef. We're going to say Nisr v'chitach ba'aliyah. But if you give a shtar choyv, it's going to be different. And in general, you say loy plug, and therefore the Nesiva argues. And so another Achron argues for another reason. He says, let's take a step back. What happened over here? You bought the cameras, and you wrote an IOU note. What does the IOU note say? It simply says, I owe you $10,000. He says, even if the warehouse burns down, the seller has a shtar choiv. He'll be going with a shtar choiv. Doesn't say anywhere it can be an offset. He still has a taina of nisru v'chitech ba'aliyah. And he says, therefore, in that case, he says, even the whole, he argues on the whole premise, he says, since the choiv and the camera are not directly linked, he argues and says, you don't say this. And again, in halacha, I think most places can argue the Machan Ephraim and say, even if you're paying with the shtar choiv, it will still be a problem of nisru v'chitech ba'aliyah, and it will not be a kinyan by metaltalin. Karka, it's a machlokes. What? Now, this is all when you're creating your own debt. If you want to pay for something or create a Kenyan by assigning a third-party debt, that already is a bit of machlokes. By kedusha yisha, we find it's a suffix whether it works, and the way that and whether you can mekadesh yisha by giving her a third-party debt with an IOU note that a friend has to you. The shach says that suffix is only by an yisha. By a Kenyan, it certainly will not work. And he explains, the problem with using a third-party debt is that halacha is, if someone owes you money and you sell that debt to someone else, even after you sell it, you have the right to be moichel, the borrower. you'll be a mazik, you'll have to reimburse the buyer for what he paid for it. But even though you sold the debt for whatever the reason is, you have the right to be moichel it and release the borrower. And therefore, the isha is not tzemech das. Why is it a suffix? So the Gemara explains. Because you're using this to be mekayish the isha. She is going to be your wife. Perhaps the isha is tzemech das and says, although my husband has the right to be moichel the borrower, he's not going to stab me in the back. L'maisa, we're married. He needs me to cook supper for him. He's not going to do it for me. Therefore, since she's getting a choyv out of it, the kedushin is going to be chal. Zok d'shach. If that's the reason that it works, that's only a svara when you're marrying someone with a shtar choyv. On the other hand, if you're buying something, the seller has no reason to be samech das that he likes me, he's not going to be moichel. And since the seller, you give him this debt, the seller knows at any given moment you can just say, I'm moichel the borrower, and now this piece of paper is worthless. He has no way to go after the borrower. Therefore, the shach says, as a davar pashut, the kinyan will not work. Ma de pshitale to the shach one way, the tzayis brings down b'shem tzayis, the exact opposite svar. He says, fakert. He says, why does it not work when you're kaddish and ishtar with a choyev on someone else? Because she's afraid the husband will be moichel the borrower, and I'll be left with a worthless piece of paper. What's the problem? Go after your husband, bring him to Beis Din, and go schlep him to a din Torah, and be mechayev him to pay for being moichel. The answer is, what? Yeah, and that's halacha. You have to, if you are moichel, you do have to reimburse the borrower, the buyer, sorry. So the teretz is that in a chanami, she'll have the technical right to go after her husband, but going to Beis Din with a stranger is unpleasant enough. To bring your husband to a din Torah that he was meichel the shtar that he used to mekadosh her, she's not interested. That's not what she wants. She's not. If the whole kedushin is based on her ability to bring to Beis Din, she's not tzemech das. That's not going to work. Zok toisvis and zok tuk tois. That's only a svar when you mekadosh an isha. In a commercial transaction, you're buying something and you're paying with this third-party debt. The seller is not worried, doesn't have any problem. If you cancel it, he'll go after you like he'll go after anyone who passes a bad check. You may not want it. You don't want to spend your day litigating, but you're not going to hesitate if he is moichel, he does you in, you go after him for being moichel the debt. The seller doesn't have any inhibitions, he'll go after you. And therefore, according to Taisis, Adarabba, by a Kenyan that's better than Kedusha Yisha, there for certainly would work.
But bottom line is, it's Kesef. What difference does it make? What are all these svaras?
The svaras is that it's not quite
Kesef. Kesef doesn't work.
What? Kesef, we're talking about Kesef does work by Karaka.
Oh, by Karaka?
Yeah, by Karaka or by Metatlin for a Misha Par. The question is, by Kedusha Yisha, it doesn't work at all. It won't work at all if she's not Tzemech Das. Because it's true, it might have value, but since the husband can just make it dissipate, she's not Tzemech Das, it doesn't count as Kesef. And we have a similar, we have these two opposite shitas by a king. So, halacha l'maisa, if you want to pay for something with a check, if you're passing along a third party check, we said that according to the Shach, he said it would only work by an isha, by a kinyan, it certainly will not work. According to the Tzoyis Adarabba, a third-party check by a kinyan certainly will work. Halacha l'maisa, a check is better. Why? Because even the shach that says you cannot make a kinyan by giving a third-party debt, the whole problem is because the buyer can be moichel the debt. Masha'en kein, if you pass along a third-party check, where once you assign that check to the other person, or it's written out to cash, the middle person, the buyer, has no right to be moichel the person who wrote the check. So that whole issue doesn't apply. This is equivalent to the Shach's case of Mamrani, which is a kind of a note that they had back then that could be assigned. And therefore, paying with a third-party check would be good, because it's the choyv is not from you, there's no problem with Agugabe. The buyer cannot be moichel this debt, and therefore, according to Kamat Ol Poiskim, you could make a kinyan by giving a third-party check. If you're using your own check, that is a little bit more of a shaila, because as we discussed before, your own choiv, there it's questionable, because just like we find by Mona Inkan, Mashkin Inkan, according to some shitas, there's a problem of Akati Ogigabe. that since the seller still is not, doesn't have the money from you yet, he just has a shtar chayiv, he still has to collect it from you. Therefore, according to some shitas, even by a kinyan, that will not work, and certainly not by kedusha isha. So at the end of the day, paying with your own check is a machlokes. Many say it works, but it is midaseik loy nafga, especially in the United States, and it's not recommended to be soymech on your own check because it is a machlokes at the end of the day, and probably a sveik of the dina. In both cases, mechusar gevayin, but the difference is when it's a third party check, so the chayiv itself has value. The buyer is out of the picture. In other words, he gave over this thing, just like you can pay with shava kesef, the chayiv is a shava kesef. When I'm giving over someone else's debt, that's a shava kesef. When you're dealing with my own chayiv to you, this is a machlokes, but some say because what I'm giving you it's not completed. It's true you have a shtar, but that's just the hechatims of you to get the money from me. You still have to deal with me. It's akati agugade, like you do she'isha, that's certainly a problem. By kinyan, it's a machlokes. Certified person is probably okay because there, even though it's a personal check, ultimately it's the bank's debt to you now. When you have a regular personal check, it's your chayv. Now he's going to collect it by going to the bank and drawing against your account. But you're the one that owes the money. A certified check, it means it's a shtar chayv shel acherim. The bank now is the one that you have a claim against, and that I would say is shtar chayv shel acherim, that you can't be moichel, and that should be work according to everyone.
And certainly the bank check.
Correct. 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 It's a good question. If it was forged from the beginning, so then it's like paying someone with a counterfeit $100 bill. It looks like money, but now we're wiser, and now we realize it was never money at any point, and therefore the kinyan certainly would not be chal. If you buy something, and then we find out later the money was counterfeit, the kinyan doesn't work. The same thing over here by check. If it was a bum check, the account was closed, it was worthless at the time, so then certainly it won't be a kinyan. Now, bigger shaya will be is what happens at the time it was good. There was money in the account, everything was fine, but by the time, after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whenever it is, at some point money was taken out, and now the check bounces. So do you say that when I gave it to the second person, everything was kosher, it was a check, it was in good faith, the fact that the account holder decided to become a ganav later is mazlecha garam, which really, when you give over a shtar chayv, that's what it should be. If I pay for something by giving you a third-party debt, once I give it to you, it's yours. Now, if the person defaults, that's your problem and not mine. The counter-argument would be, and it's very mistavra, that when you give a third-party check, you probably are taking achrayus. Just like you're taking achrayus. It doesn't have to be, but the understanding is if that third-party defaults, the seller, who doesn't know who the third-party is, never dealt with him, never did business with him, doesn't want to have to track him down, I think it's understood that the person who actually gives over the check takes achrayus. That's why they usually take your information. They'll write your phone number on the check because it's clear they're going after you. So it's not mi'ikar hadin like that. Mi'ikar hadin, you can say mazlecha garam, but the mitzias today is there's an understanding you take achrayus, and if that's the understanding and that's the umdana, then you will have to make good. Okay, good. That's every time you deal with a check, they deal with a few factors. They deal with perhaps it's a shtar chayv, and then they deal with a shtar chayv. You could be machal, you can't be machal. The other argument is perhaps the check itself is like kesef, where that's an extreme shita. In Eretz Yisrael, many places can go with it because it seems the practice there is that checks get just their yotze b'hoitzah. They fly around. They get passed from hand to hand without with very few restrictions, and therefore some say it's kesef mamish. In America, it's hard to argue like that because you can't use. But the third option is that, forget it, it's not kesef, but it's the fact that it's something that I could give to someone else. Maybe it's like a shava kesef. It's like a debt. It might be illegal, but the question is now that it's written, what is it? It doesn't mean that it's not. The check writer cannot use his defense that it was illegal and therefore I don't owe you the money because I didn't have the money in the account. So he may or may not go to jail for writing the check before the money was covered, but now that it's written, he owes the money and it's either a choyev, a shava kesef, or kesef mamish. This, We're still holding in last week's shiar. I just wanted a brief review to get to the next question, which is, what happens if you buy something and you pay with a credit card? Is that a good kinyan? So it's something which is very common. People don't think very much when they do it, but let's think about what really happens when you swipe a credit card. And it ends up being a very technical question, or a lot of things are at work to try to make a kinyan out of this. So let's go through. We're going to have to go through briefly two concepts, and then we'll get back to the halacha l'maisa. What's the halacha if a lady says, "You want to be mekayish a lady with a pruta?" She says, "You know what? No problem. I want to get married, but I don't need the pruta. I don't need your ring. I have a cousin who needs some jewelry. Give her the ring, and through that, I'll be mekudesh to you." In other words, do the kinyan kesef or the kiddushay kesef, but the moicher, the recipient, is saying, "I don't need it. Give it to someone else, and I'll be mekudesh to you with that." Again, that's already a machlokes rishonim, what the reason is, but just the case is simply give it to them, and that's like I received it. By giving it to by putting it or giving it to the person that I want it to go to, that is the equivalent of giving it to me. So here we have a concept of arvus. Someone comes to you, they want to borrow $1,000. If you give them $1,000, they owe you $1,000. They're the borrower. What if you don't trust them? You're afraid you may never see this money again. You say, bring me a guarantor. So he finds someone. He finds a friend that's ready to be an Ariv, that's ready to guarantee the Choyv. The Ariv tells the Malva, 10 mono lapoin. You lend our friend $1,000, and it's on me. I'll pay you back. So halacha is that you don't need any kinyan, is when the Malva gives the Loiva the money, the guarantor now is responsible. And if the Loiva doesn't pay, you go to the guarantor and say, "Pay me the money." This is midin arev, that since you are moitzia tzas alpiv, he said, "Give it to the borrower and I'm good for it." But Deber, once you give it to that person with his on the arev's instructions, that is the equivalent as if the arev received the money and he has to pay the lender back. Okay, so I'm trying to avoid going there. It is the medayagas. It seems to be a machlokes rishonim whether we look at it as if when the borrower got the money, he's like receiving it on behalf of the arev, and therefore it's like the arev got it. That's one shot. It's like the arev got the money. That's like he's the borrower almost, because it was given to his shliach, if you will, on his behalf, and it's like he got it. Others say it's by hihano. Since you took $1,000 and you put it at risk, you gave it to someone else on my say-so, that hana that you listened to me and you gave it to my friend, that itself might be enough to create a chiyuv. Again, that seems to be a machlokes and how exactly to understand the din of an arif. Now, based on this, if you buy something and the seller says, "You know what, don't write out the check to me, write out the check, you know, to my tuition," again, legal, not legal, but he says, give it to a third party, that will work midin arev. Even though the seller is not receiving the money, since you're giving it to a third party on the instructions of the seller, that is similar to the case of arev, and that will make a kinyan. Okay, fine. Now, a similar case, like, for example, if you lend someone money and the borrower, "I don't want to take interest from you. Give, you know, here's $1,000, pay me back, give $100 to Tztaka." That, according to Moshe, this is ribis ketutza, midin arvus. Even though the ribis is not going to the lender, it's going to the moysid. Since it's going to the moysid on the lender's instructions, you told him give it to that third party. So giving it to the third party is the equivalent of giving it to the malva, and that will be ribis daraisa. So again, if the seller is not getting the money, but instead the buyer is giving it to a third party on the seller's instructions, that is enough to create a kinyan, midin arev. A very common example of this is that when you sell your chametz, so what happens? You go to the Rav, you make him your shliach to sell your chametz for you. Now when the Rav goes and sells the chametz, so he does many kinyanim. One of the kinyanim the guy does is he gives the Rav money for the chametz. Who keeps that money? Does that go back to everyone who sold the chametz? Generally not. Now many achronim are bothered by that. Why not? If it's kinyan kesef, the seller should have to get the kesef. So what some say is that it's working midin arvus. It's when you go to the rav and tell him to sell the chametz, what you're telling him is sell the chametz, but the kinyan that will take place is the goy doesn't have to give money to the seller. He can give it to the rav, who is that third party, and midin arev, when the rav gets the money, it's like the owner, the seller, got it, and that is enough to create a kinyan kesef. As Moshe points out, as we mentioned last week, when you're using kinyan kesef, you need a shava pruta. Now, like we said, a pruta is not very much. You know, today it's a penny and a quarter, or, you know, plus or minus a little bit. However, if the rav is selling the chametz and he's selling the chametz for many people, so the Gros Moshe writes, you have to be makbid, that you have to make sure the goy with the kinyan kesef, the amount that he's giving, is enough to have a pruta for every single person that's selling the chametz. Now, others rather argue, they say if it's a shliach or an arev, perhaps one pruta is enough, but the Gros Moshe is makbid, and he says, so if you're selling for many people, you have to make sure there is a pruta for each and every one of them. It's not a big deal, you know, unless you have a really big shul, it's you know, at a penny and a quarter a seller, it does not very hard to do, but something to keep in mind, if the guy wants to give a quarter for a kinyan, that will not work if there are many buyers, sellers. So this is the concept of arvus, that if you want to buy with kinyan kesef, but the seller is not going to get the money, it'll go to a third party, that works midin arev. Now, let's talk about the opposite case. What about a case where the seller is going to get the money in his pocket, but the money is not going to come directly from the buyer? And let's deal with this on two angles. What happens if the buyer wants to be kind of a kesef, but he sends a shliach? And the Eiz Namzu, he sends a goy to be his shliach to buy something with kesef. You have an employee, then putting aside the Machane Ephraim, that a poyel is different than Hilchos Shluchim, but you have an employee, a goy, you send him to the store with money, go buy something. When he gives the money to the store, can he be zoichen it on behalf of the mishaleach, on behalf of the buyer? L'chayr by a goy, there's no shliach. But here's the question. By a kinyan kesef, what makes the kinyan kesef? Is there a maisa nesina, that there's a lumdus that when I give you the money, that's a maisa kinyan? Or no? The kinyan kesef is when the seller receives the buyer's money, when he receives it, in exchange for getting that money, he's makne this to the buyer. Zakhtun nesivas and the machin Ephraim, the latter is true. And therefore, the same way if you buy something, you put a dollar, drop the money in the mail, you send it to the seller. When he gets it, as soon as he takes the money as a kinyan, the kinyan happens. The mailman was a goy. Who cares? The mailman's not making the kinyan. It's a ma'aseh kayif ba'alma. He's just delivering it. But the kinyan is when the seller accepts it on behalf of for the purchase. And therefore, the Nesivas and the Machane Ephraim both say, even if you send a goy with your money, that's not a problem, the kinyan happens. Now, the Mishnah Berurah actually is mefaklik on this. He brings down a ravosh that says that if a goy gives money to a yid on Pesach, and the yid buys chametz on behalf of the goy, the ravosh says it's the yid is over by yirah as soon as he buys the chametz. So it's mashma, the medayik from here, that even though it's the goy's money, and you'll be kind with kinyan kesef, the yid is nothing more than the courier, nevertheless, it seems to need shlichus, and because you do not have shlichus la'akum, therefore it belongs to the yid, and problem of valyiro. So some argue on this nesivas because of it. Others, I mean, the chayr you can be doicha, that really depends on the case. If the buyer and the seller negotiate the terms, and they agree, I'm buying this for $100, mail, dropping the money in the mail or having a goy messenger deliver it for you is not a problem. There the nesivas is right, it's a ma'aseh kayif ba'alma. On the other hand, if you give a shliach money and say, go buy me something, you know, go to the store, buy me something, where the shliach gets to decide what to buy, how much to pay, who to buy it for, at that point when he buys it, he's not a ma'aseh kayif ba'alma. It's his decision, it's his discretion what to buy and what to pay for it. So it's his das that's needed to make the kinyan. There you need shlichus. Masha Enkein, if the buyer and seller negotiate and the shliach is just the courier dropping off the money, there it's mistaver like the nesivas that the kin, that even you don't need shlichus, the kinyan and the kinyan will work regardless. So if the goy is nothing more than the middleman, or in the other case, if the Goy gives the Yisrael the money, and he's the middleman to bring it to another Yid. There, according to the Nesivas, we do not, that will work because you do not need a problem with Shlichus. But now let's go to the next case. What if the Shliach, when he gives the money, is not giving the Mishaleach's money? What if I go over to a seller and say, listen, I see you're selling whatever it is. I want Yankel to have it. Here's money. Sell this to Yankel. In other words, I pay for it with my own money on behalf of person of the Makaba. Will that work or not? Avikanani, very good. So the halacha is, if a person has a slave, he's yoytzo, and the slave can be paid himself with money. Question is, where does the slave have money? So either it's the matana menashe ein ba'al shusba, but the other option is midin avikanani, that if you go over to an adoin and say, here's money, I'm giving you this in order to free your slave, the moment the adoin accepts that money, the slave goes free. So this is known as the concept of avikanani, that we see that I can give my money on behalf of a third person, and that third person is zaycha, goes free, kedusha isha, that works. So this is true by an avikanani, it's true by kedushin as well. I know this young man wants to get married. He can't afford a wedding ring. I go over to the isha and I say, here, take this wedding ring and be mikudesh as to that your fiance. So in that case, even though the money is coming from me, I'm not getting reimbursed, it's my money. Nevertheless, if she accepts it, she's mikudesh as to that third party. That is the idea of avikanani. Now here too, there's actually a major machlokes achronim where that will work by a goy. You know, it's this idea that I can give money, here's the ring, the kudeshes to this other person. Does that need shlichus or not? So the Ktzayis says it's nothing to do with shlichus. The Ktzayis L'chayr learns that the din of Avikanani, the chiddush is that we don't care who gives the money. Once she accepts money for to be mekudeshes to this person, she's mekudeshes. Whether the money came from him or someone else makes no difference. So in that case, even if the goy gives the money, there's no shlichus. Once she accepts it in order to be mekudeshes to this person, she's mekudeshes. The Rav Chaim and Chazanish argue. They say this is all din of shlichus. The din of avikanani is similar to the din of shlichus. That when you give money on behalf, I give the ring that she should be mekudeshes to this person. It is like I am a shliach for that person. Midin schiyah, midin shlichus, a new din. But it's similar to the idea of shlichus, and therefore it only work to someone who is a bar shlichus. Okay, so now with this slightly long-winded hakdama, we can go back to a credit card. When you go into a store and you swipe the card, what happens? Are you paying money out of your pocket right then and there to make this kenyan? No. If you're not paying money, can that be a kenyan? Is that a problem with a kenyan? What? L'chayra not. L'chayra, this is like the din of avikanani. Just like by avikanani, if a third party goes over to the seller and says, here's money, go free the eved. Even though the eved didn't spend a doin, nevertheless, since the adoin received money on behalf of the eved, midin avikanani, he goes free. So here too as well, midin avikanani, even though the buyer has not paid anything, since the seller received money in order to sell this item to the buyer, midin avikanani, the kenyan should take place. Oh, wait a second. Okay, good. So now we have a few problems here. The first problem is that the seller, the credit card companies, don't come by once a week and drop off a wad of cash. What do? They wire, at best, they wire money into the seller's account. Now again, for now, let's assume it happens instantaneously, which it doesn't, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But what do they wire money into the seller's account. Now, that means that is the seller receiving any cash right away to make this transaction happen? No. What's happening is this third party is giving the money to the seller's bank. So what happens if I want to sell something, but I don't get the money, instead you give the money to someone else that I instruct you to? Will that work? Yes. Midinevi. So this is a case where we have Eved, Kanani, and Ariv together. Even though the buyer is not paying a penny, and the seller is not directly receiving a penny, since a third party, the credit card company, is giving the money to the seller's bank on behalf of the seller, There, if you put together Eved Kanani and Arev, then L'choira, we should have a wonderful Kenyan Kesef. What? On behalf of the buyer, but he's giving it to the bank that the seller instructed him to do. Like in Arev, give the money to the borrower and I'll pay you back. So the seller is saying, by giving it to my bank, that's the same thing as giving it to me. So wait a second. So conceptually, if you put together Arvus and Eved Kanani, we should have a king. No. Arvus L'chora works by a goy even. The problem is like that. We have a few problems. The first problem is that, as we just pointed out, there's a machlokes whether Eved Kanani works by a goy. The credit card company is a goy. So over here we have a question, can a goy give money and on behalf of a yid, and can that create a kinyan midin Eved Kanani? According to the Tzoyis, the Nesivas, yes. According to the Chazon Ish and Rav Chaim, not. So again, it seems like more poskim at least go with the Nesivas that you will have Eved, you don't need Shleichos, you will have Eved Kanani, but there are those that argue. The second problem is, that you're raising, is that this is all assuming the moment you swipe the card, the credit card company immediately gives money to your bank on behalf of the buyer. So there's a Kenyan Kesef, but as long as you put the Arev in, Eved Kanani will create a Kenyan Kesef. That's really not what's happening. The credit card company doesn't pay for another month.
What a debit card.
What? And a debit card, where it happens right away, you'll have Arev, you'll have the Eved Kanani and Arev together, 100%. Happens right away, then what we said before will be true. The only issue will be is the fact that it's Ayidei Akum. But when you're dealing with a credit card where it doesn't happen right away, it takes a month, or even a day or 2 days, so there, can you make a Kenyan if no money is changing hands? So L'choira. Very good. L'choira ain't a Chanami, no money changes hands, but the moment I swipe the card, now the seller has a claim against the credit card company. So now there is a third-party debt that's owed to the seller. So l'choira, that is chayiv itself, that chayiv, that's equivalent of giving him, just like if I assign to the seller a shtar chayiv of a third party, this is a little bit different. I'm creating, I'm creating this chayiv from the third party to the seller, so perhaps that his chayiv itself will be enough. Now, since I cannot be moichalit, I could dispute it if you don't deliver, if you don't, because I can litigate, but I can't stop be moichel that debt. It's something which, unless there's some sort of fraud or some reason for it, you can't get out of it, the third party owes it. L'chayr, that kinyan should work, not because of the kesef, but because of the actual hischayvus. So that l'chayr should work, that l'chayr should not even have the problem we didn't have a kanani, because you don't need any shlichos. I'm simply giving you a third-party debt, and therefore it's mistavra that will work. Again, there are some technical issues that you could raise, but we're out of time to talk about that.